How did the Jews know that Jesus was coming? There were prophecies, yes, there were. And as a result of those prophecies, they assumed that there would be a Messiah. And they looked for a Messiah, but when he came, they didn't recognize him. They had information about him, but they just did not recognize him. They couldn't believe that God would keep his word. And you know, sometimes you and I are like that. God promises something, we see it in his word, say, oh, that's taken care of. And then we start worrying about it. Not all of us, but some of us might worry about it. And God is going to keep his word, folks. There was a prophecy, there are several prophecies that involve Christmas, and I would like for us to look at a couple of them tonight, just as a way of remembering and being aware of the fact that, and I wouldn't say authenticating, we know that Jesus was the Son of God. We know that because the Holy Spirit tells us that. But in prophecy, we're going to start with Isaiah chapter 7, a verse that you're very familiar with, Isaiah 7, 14. The Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I understand from what little Jewish history I know that from the time of that prophecy in Isaiah, that Jewish girls were looking forward to being the mother of the Messiah. And then when the angel Gabriel came and told Mary that she was that young girl, she didn't want to believe him. There are times when we don't want to believe. I don't know if any of you ever watch Undercover Boss. I like that program because I like to see men doing things for their employees that are way beyond what the employee expects. And there was one in particular where the boss said, I'm going to give you $250,000 to go out and buy a house. Many of you may have seen that. She collapsed. She collapsed, never anticipating anything like that. And God wants our life to be like that, folks. He wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to give us. And the young lady could not believe she was being told what she was being told. Such a shock. Throughout the Old Testament are scattered prophecies about the coming of our Lord and how he might be recognized. And the reason that God gave us those prophecies was so that he could be recognized when he came. And the Jews were familiar with the various descriptions given in the Holy Scriptures as to who and what their coming Messiah might be or who he might be. And that they were even told the place of his birth just to authenticate that this young woman, this virgin, was bringing forth the Messiah. That's how the Jews were able to tell Herod where he would be born, so Herod could tell the wise men because they were familiar with the prophecies. Isn't it amazing that they were familiar with the prophecies and yet they didn't believe them? Isn't that just like humans? I want to do this for you. Oh, I don't believe that. Okay. In Micah 5:2-4, it says this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them brethren, shall return unto the child of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. English, the English language has changed, and there are words in Scripture that can be translated in several different ways, and one of the words is in chapter 4, verse 4 of Micah 5. It says, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. That word feed can also and is translated in other places rule. Rule. He shall stand and rule in the place of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And Jesus did that. He came to rule. Now, he's not ruled yet, but that is a promise that we have. And we are waiting for it. But just to show you, we have been told that we do not know the day nor the hour. Only God knows that. Now, does everybody believe that? Okay. Do you expect it tonight? Are you planning on going to work tomorrow morning? As an example, folks, we have promises that we are not prepared to have fulfilled. And that's the way it was with Israel. They were not ready for Messiah. They were not ready in their hearts. They were not ready in their lives. And yet they had these promises. They even knew where. Like I said, you know, in Bethlehem, that's where he was to be born. That's what the scriptures told them. Just think about what we're told today by scripture. He will be from the beginning. Yet he will give up his attributes as God to exist in the womb until he is born. That's what it says right here in this verse 4. For now shall he be great to the ends of the earth. In verse 4, that word feed, like I said, can be translated rule, and that's what Jesus came to do. He came to rule, but he was rejected by the Jews. One day he will rule. We're told much more about how he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And then we read more in Isaiah 49:10, which says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. I think there's a psalm that says something about his leading us streams of water. And he does. That water could represent the Holy Spirit also. And we have the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to minister to the needs of our hearts. And finally, in Ezekiel 34:23 says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Well, I hope this evening that Jesus is your pastor, because that word shepherd also means pastor. And I hope he is the one that you look to as your pastor. I'm just a man, just like you are. And I said this morning, God doesn't see me any differently than he sees any of you. He doesn't have any greater or lesser expectations of me than he does of all of you. He expects you to be fruitful. He expects you to minister to the needs of those he puts in your path. And he puts people in your path. I don't believe there's any accidents with God. I think when you meet a stranger, that you met that stranger because it was intended, and God had a purpose for you to fulfill with that stranger. And after this, then we come to the phrase in verse 4, still of Micah 5. We see the phrase majesty. I think there's some hymns about that. Did I hear majesty? Huh? He is our majesty. He's our ruler. He's our king. Hebrews 2, 7 through 9 says, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Because he died, we don't have to. Oh, we may go through this transition we call death, but it's instantaneous. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And one day we will all be present with Jesus. We'll also be present with God. The next thing that we want to look at is the expression, his God, in verse 4 of Micah. That's illustrated in John 20, verses 16 and 17, when Jesus said unto her, Mary, this was outside the tomb after his resurrection, she turned herself and saith to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And that's why he died. That's why he rose from the dead. To make God our God. He was not our God till that point. But it makes it possible for you and I to accept him as God. To be a part and accepted of God. So there's one more phrase we want to look at in this verse in Micah. The phrase, ends of the earth. And that ties back to Psalm 72:8. When it tells us about Jesus, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So that's the dominion that Jesus has. That's the area he wants us to serve him in. From the river to the ends of the earth. And we have people out there tonight who are serving him in those places. Our family that was serving in China right now is serving in Thailand. They had to leave China because of the virus, but they are serving in Thailand and they are still serving many Chinese. I hope you go by and read some of these missionary letters that are on the board. There are more letters in my office. My office is open. You're welcome to go in. They're behind the door on the bulletin board, all the latest letters. So tonight I'd like us to look at just one more passage of two verses before we get into our church family conference. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. These are fantastic verses. Let me read them. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Do you know Jesus by those names? Do you know him as Wonderful? I hope you do. I hope you understand that he is wonderful. He's as wonderful as anything that has ever happened to you or to me. And because of that, we can rejoice in him all the time. All the time. And the scripture says unto us, the reference to the Jew first, but also the Gentile, that composes the us. A son is given unto us, all of us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The government shall be upon his shoulders refers to Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder, so that he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Folks, we don't have to be afraid of the government. Because you know who opened the door? Jesus Christ. And because he has opened the door to all of us for service, nobody can close it. I don't care if he's called president or if she's called vice president. We're probably going to be called president soon. There are those speculating that Biden won't serve one day before she is installed as president. We'll see. But we don't have to be afraid. Nobody can shut our door except for Jesus. And he's opened the door for us to witness, and we need to do so. So, look at the name that we do know him by, Wonderful. And then there's the name Counselor. Is he your counselor? Do you say, Jesus, what should I do? I hope you have daily conversations with him through the Holy Spirit. I hope he's as real to you as your hands on the ends of your arms. He's that real. And he's there always for us. He's there to minister. Remember, he's our shepherd. He's watching over us. He's taking care of us. He's making provision for us. As we read through the Proverbs, we see safety is of the Lord. If you got here safely today, the Lord got you here. It wasn't my wife's driving that got us here. Because I didn't let her drive. Okay. But now on the 18th of January, she's going to start driving. And for 4 weeks, you're going to see me shaking all the time. We've agreed that we'll both wear earplugs so nobody hears my screaming. Okay, so. No, she's a good driver. The reason she's a good driver is because I taught her. That was one of the points in our married life where we almost got divorced. Men, don't teach your wives to drive. Not if you want a long marriage, okay? But he's our counselor. He's the one we can go to for counsel. And he's the one who will give us counsel through his Holy Spirit. And then he's called the Mighty God. The Mighty God. What a name. It tells us who he is. He is the Mighty God. Nobody in this world can overcome him because he is the Mighty God. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, we should be looking for him. Every day, we should be anticipating him. There are times when you know people. You have friends. And sometimes they do some crazy things. We'll call them crazy rather than stupid, okay? But sometimes they do unusual things. Let me put it that way. And you tell somebody, well, I'm not surprised, okay? Because you anticipated that they might do something like that. In Titus, it tells us that Jesus is the great God and our Savior. And he is that. Then he's also our everlasting Father. John 10:30, Jesus told his disciples, I and my Father are one. And then again, when Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father, Jesus replied, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? As we look at the life of Christ, we're looking at the life of God. As we see Jesus working around us in the lives of others, we are seeing God working around us in the lives of others. I cannot explain to you the Trinity. I cannot explain how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one entity. I can't comprehend it. But I know they are. They're one and the same. And what God the Father does, Jesus is a part of. What God the Father does, the Holy Spirit is a part of. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling our hearts, our souls, that's God. And he is the one who can empower us. He's also the one who can tell us, your time is up. Time for you to come home. But until he tells us that, he's going to empower us to serve him and to do the things he puts before us, to take advantage of the opportunities he presents to each one of us. Then finally, the last name we want to look at tonight is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2:14 tells us, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's talking about us and God. None of us are separated from God because of what Jesus Christ did. There's no need for us to be separated from God. Only the world is separated from God. And as long as you are not a part of the world, then you are in the family of God. And you are in the care of God. And you are under the authority of God. So these are just a few of the prophecies we see in the book of Isaiah, which was written somewhere around 700 BC, before Christ. There are many, many other prophecies of him. And as we approach this Christmas time, on Sunday nights, we'll look at a few more of them. But for tonight, that's where we will end. Let's just close in a word of prayer, and then let's go into our family council. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us the prophets who foretold the coming of Jesus Christ and helped identify him. And Father, help us identify him before others. And Father, we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, tonight,